And we've been talking about the wisdom of God that we need in life to live out there in the streets where our life is played out in a way that glorifies God. And we're reminded by the memory verse that we've had throughout this series that this wisdom comes from God. Proverbs 2 and verse 6, let's say it together. For the Lord gives wisdom, and from his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. And so we need to download this wisdom into our lives every day. This wisdom that comes from the mouth of God took on human flesh in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. So Jesus came and lived among us and showed us what these street smarts look like in a human body. But more importantly, Jesus came, lived, and died and rose again to empower us to live this wisdom out in our lives every day, because we don't have the power and the strength in and of ourselves to do it. Now I want to ask you to open your Bibles this morning one more time to the book of Proverbs, Proverbs chapter 24. If you don't have a Bible, there's one in the pew rack in front of you there. Proverbs 24, beginning in verse 30. And we've learned along the way in this series that King Solomon either composed or collected these sayings here found in the book of Proverbs, perhaps as the curriculum for the training of young people to take their place in his vast royal administration. So if this is indeed the case, then the topic of our text today is vitally important for young people to catch early in life. Let's begin reading in Proverbs 24, verse 30. I went past the field of the sluggard, past the vineyard of the man who lacks judgment. Thorns had come up everywhere. The ground was covered with weeds, and the stone wall was in ruins. I applied my heart to what I observed and learned a lesson from what I saw. A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, and poverty will come on you like a bandit, and scarcity like an armed man. We definitely need wisdom and street smarts for that part of our life known as work. Last week, I happened to run across a classified ad that appeared in a newspaper here in Texas and looking for work. And this is what it says. It says, construction workers needed, Lake Fork area. Please do not apply if you oversleep, have court often, do not have a babysitter every day, have to get rides to work later than our workday begins, experience flat tires every week, have to hold on to a cell phone all day, or will become an expert at your job with no need to learn or take advice after the first day. Here's a big one. Must be able to talk and work at the same time. Must also remember to come back to work after lunch. Should not expect to receive gold stars for being on time. If you qualify, call that number. I'm not sure if the opening is still there, but feel free to call the number. I want you to think today about that part of life that unless you are retired or unemployed or disabled or underage, will consume about one-third of your adult life, your work. And perhaps some of you are thinking, Pastor, please don't remind me that I have to go to work tomorrow. You're already dreading going to work. In fact, I read a survey recently that said that 3/4 of Americans experience some kind of Sunday blues as they think about the fact that they have to go to work on Monday. Maybe they dread it. Their work is hard. They're not all that fulfilled in what they're doing. Maybe they don't get along with the people that they work with. Perhaps you're a homemaker and you never escape your work, that it's with you all the time. You're washing dishes and changing diapers and folding clothes and taking kids to school. It's just an unending thing. You never escape from it. And so we're grateful to have today this wisdom of God about our work. What if I could show you a way today to find new meaning in your work? What if what if I could show you how you could truly be excited about going to work tomorrow? Well, here on the pages of Proverbs is a wise man who takes a field trip to the farm and visits the workplace of a particular kind of man, a foolish man. Notice what he observes in verse 30. I went past the field of the sluggard, past the vineyard of the man who lacks judgment. So he's taking a stroll past the workplace of this foolish man that the Proverbs call the sluggard. Actually, about 15 times in the book of Proverbs, you'll find this phrase, the sluggard. And here in verse 30, you notice that he is also called a man who lacks judgment, who lacks understanding, who lacks street smarts. But the fact is that he's ignored the street smarts of God, and it shows in the undisciplined and careless way that he goes about his life and his work. Sometimes in Proverbs, he's called a lazy man. Other times, he is called the slothful because he's apathetic and idle. Now, this would be a good time for me to remind us that actually work is not bad. Actually, work is biblical. Just jot that down. Work is biblical. You remember that human history began in a garden similar to this one here in Proverbs chapter 24. Remember that God created Adam and Eve and he placed them in a garden and he immediately put them to work. And their job, and I think that song the choir sang earlier refers to this, that he put them to work to tend the creation, to cultivate the garden. And in the very beginning, this was something that was enjoyable, it was meaningful, it was purposeful, and all by the design of God. It was good until something tragic happened. What happened is that Adam and Eve sinned, and they disobeyed God. And as a result of that, it affected their relationship with the Father. It affected their relationship with each other. And it also poisoned every aspect of their life, including their work. And as a result of that, Genesis chapter 3 says that God came to Adam and said, "Okay, Adam, because of your sin, the ground is cursed." That means that instead of just producing wonderful, fruitful crops that will feed you and sustain you now, there will also be weeds and thorns and thistles that will make your work a hassle. And in fact, you are going to have to produce your food, your income, by the sweat of your brow. So presumably before the fall, that work was something that was done. It was completely enjoyable. It was not a hassle. But now, as a result of the fall of man's sin, by the sweat of his brow, Adam would have to work to feed himself and his family. And now you understand why 3/4 of us are dreading going to work tomorrow. It's because we live in a sin-infected world where work is hard, but it's biblical. And that's what we're looking at here in Proverbs chapter 24, a man who is losing the battle with laziness and with apathy, and it shows up in the next verse, verse 31. Thorns, remember Genesis? Thorns had come up everywhere. The ground was covered with weeds, and the stone wall was in ruins. So this foolish man has run into the fact that in his sinful life, his life has become something undisciplined and something that has been overgrown and broken down. His fields don't produce any crops because he hasn't worked to plant them. They're overgrown with weeds. And the fence that surrounds his vineyard or his garden is broken down, and now trespassers and wild animals come in to devour. You see, if you're lazy, it will affect your family, it will affect your finances, it will affect your studies, it will affect your work, it'll affect every aspect of life. Let me just remind you of something else that we learn from the scriptures about work, and that is that work is essential. It's not just biblical, it's essential. It is the way by which God intends for us to support ourselves and our families. It's the way by which God intends for us to be good citizens of the planet on which he has placed us as we tend to his creation. We do so by working. It keeps us pushing back against the sin of laziness and boredom. And by the way, boys and girls, if you just listen to me for just a second, you may not like it when your parents give you chores to do, like making up your bed or putting the dishes in the dishwasher or taking out the garbage or feeding the dog or whatever chores your parents may give. You may not like that. But do you understand that your parents are teaching you a very important lesson? That work is a part of life and work is good. It's essential. And boys and girls, you need to learn that from the earliest days of your life. Now back to the text. Look at verse 32 and following. So this wise man said, I applied my heart to what I observed and I learned a lesson from what I saw. You know, I said several weeks ago that the Proverbs are short sayings from a long observation. Short sayings from a long observation. So the wise man has just looked at this and he's drawn this conclusion. Verse 33, a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, and poverty will come on you like a bandit and scarcity like an armed man. So with no crops to harvest, the lazy person here has nothing to eat. He has nothing to sell to produce an income. And he wakes up one day and suddenly he is overcome with poverty. It's taken him like a thief, an armed a soldier who has attacked him suddenly. Why? It's because he's lazy. Now there's one more thing I want to remind you about work. And that is that work is spiritual. It's spiritual. It's an important concept. For us as believers, our work is also our worship and our witness. And Jesus understood this when he said in John 4:34 to his disciples, he said, my food, my satisfaction is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. Jesus understood that the Father had given him a work to do in this world, in his life. And so he comes to the end of his life and he prays in John 17:4, I have brought you glory on earth by completing the work you gave me to do. What a wonderful way to end life is to be able to say to God, I have brought you glory on earth by completing the work you gave me to do. All of life is spiritual. It's all connected to our relationship to the Lord. And so our lives are to be consumed with work that worships God and also witnesses to a lost world. 1 Corinthians 15:58, Paul says, always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. Give yourself fully to the work that God has given you to do. And I will just say that some of you are retired today and you think, well, what does this have to do with me? Well, you've just got time to do other things of meaning and value. And oftentimes I talk to people after they retire and I say, well, what's it been like since you retired? And they said, I don't know what it's like to be retired. I've been busier now than I ever was. And some of you understand that. And so there are things that you can do with your time and with your energy that are productive and continue to work even though you're not working for a paycheck necessarily. So as believers, every waking hour becomes an opportunity for us to work, to do the work of the Lord. Husbands and wives in marriage, moms and dad in parenting, volunteers in church or out in the community, and as an employee or as an employer, it's all work that is good and spiritual. You can't separate your work from your relationship with God. But I don't want us to misunderstand this either. Because we are not saved by our good works. We are saved for good works. Sometimes I will share Christ with people and I'll ask this question. If you were to stand before God today and he were to ask you, why should I let you into my heaven? What would you say to him? And oftentimes people will say, well, I work real hard and I pay my taxes and I take care of my family. Well, that's great. But it's not what the Bible says you have to do to be saved. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9 says, "For it is by grace you have been saved through faith in Christ, and this not from yourself, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast," whether they're religious works or any other kind of work. It won't save you. So we don't work for our salvation, but the Bible says that we work out our salvation. So we show by the way we live our lives and the way we do our work that we're different. Ephesians 2:10 goes on to say, "For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." So he wired this into us as believers to do work for his glory. So God has created us and he saved us for good works and for good work. Now, let me give you some street smarts from Proverbs for your work. If you just jot these down for the coming week and the weeks to come, street smarts for your work. Let me show you how to find real meaning in your work. I want to show you how you can make a valuable contribution to your company, to your team, to your family, to your church, and most importantly, I want to show you how you can glorify God in your worship. Because that's what we're supposed to do with all of life. So number one, take initiative in your work. Take initiative in your work. The wise person takes initiative in finding work, in going to work, in doing work. Take initiative. Now, Proverbs 6:9 says about the foolish man, "Now, how long will you lie there, you sluggard? When will you get up from your sleep?" So get up and do what you have to do. Diligent workers don't procrastinate. But a sluggard is always finding an excuse not to work. Proverbs 22:13, I love this one. The sluggard says, "There's a lion outside," or, "I will be murdered in the streets. A meteor might fall on me if I walk out the door and go to work." It's just how ridiculous it is. He imagines all kinds of reasons not to work. So take the initiative to start doing what you know you need to do. Write that letter, start that project, pay off that debt, take initiative. Number two, be productive in your work. Be productive in your work. Sometimes we will ask people, "Are you working hard?" And they will say, "No, I'm hardly working." That's not the wise person. You see, the wise person has dreams and goals, and they go to work to achieve those dreams and goals. But the sluggard may want the same thing, craves the same things, but never goes to work to produce it. Remember here, we're talking about a garden that is not producing any fruit, because this lazy man has not worked the garden to produce fruit. Proverbs 21, verses 25 and 26 talks about the daydreaming of the sluggard. The sluggard's craving will be the death of him because his hands refuse to work. All day long he craves for more, but the righteous give without sparing. So the sluggard says, "Someday," that's their word, "someday I'm going to make it big. Someday I'm going to meet the right person who's going to connect me with that dream job. Someday this great husband is just going to show up on my front porch. Someday I'm going to win the lottery. Someday the credit card company is going to call me and say, 'Your debt is forgiven.'" Fat chance. "Someday I'm going to get serious about serving, serving the Lord. Someday I'm going to get involved in ministry." And so, get involved, do your work, be productive. Proverbs 26:15 says that the sluggard buries his hand in the dish. He's too lazy to bring it back to his mouth. Can you just get the picture here? It's like a baby falling asleep in their plate. They're just so lazy, they can start to eat, but they can't finish it. They're always starting things and never finishing them. How many unfinished projects do you have in your life today? That room that still needs to be painted. That assignment that still needs to be completed. And so, be productive in your work. Number three, demonstrate integrity in your work. Demonstrate integrity. Remember, as believers, our work is our worship to God and our witness to a lost world. So do your work with integrity that reflects the character of our Lord Jesus Christ. Colossians 3, 22 and 23 says, slaves or employees, obey your earthly masters in everything. And do it not only when their eye is on you to win their favor, but with sincerity of heart and reverence for the Lord. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord and not for men. So no matter where you work and no matter who you work for, ultimately, you have one big boss. It is the Lord. To work with integrity means that we work in a way that not just pleases us, not just pleases our employer, but also, and above all, pleases the Lord. We work with integrity. We're honest. We don't take shortcuts or cut corners. We're not sloppy in our work. We're timely in our work. Your boss should be able to trust you. Above all people, should be able to trust you with the work he's given you to do. And if you're an employer, you'll be fair with your employees. So do your work knowing that the Lord is watching you, not just to please your employer, but also to honor the Lord. We live all of our life in his presence. Number four, show intensity in your work. Show intensity in your work. And again, Colossians 3:23 says to work at what you do with all your heart. Just throw yourself into it. As believers, we ought to be the hardest working people in our organizations, in our companies. And why? It is because we are doing it, again, as an act of worship to the Lord, who has told us to love him with all of our heart and all of our soul and all of our strength and all of our might. So show intensity. Proverbs 26:14 says, as a door on its hinges, so a sluggard turns on his bed. Now, I think this is a hilarious image here. So here is a lazy person who's like a door swinging on hinges. When the alarm clock goes off in the morning, he just kind of turns over and hits the snooze button and turns back and goes back to sleep. And it comes on again, and he hits the snooze button again. He's just turning, like a door turning on a hinge, is this picture of one who is slack in his work, where the Bible tells us to show intensity in our work. Work hard. Number five, stay balanced. Stay balanced in your work. You know, some people are at the complete other end of the spectrum. They're so obsessed with their work that they don't have time for their relationship with the Lord, their relationship with their family, and other important priorities in life. And so there needs to be this balance. I love what Proverbs 19:23 says. It says, the fear of the Lord leads to life. This fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and it leads to life. Then one rests content, untouched by trouble. So you can work hard and rest then without worry. Now the Lord has set the example for us in this. Remember in the book of Genesis, we're told that God in 6 days worked to create the heavens and the earth. And what an amazingly productive 6 days those were. He created the whole universe. And then he did something unusual. On the seventh day it says that he what? He rested. Why? Was God tired? Did he say, man, this creation business has worn me out. I need a day of rest. No. The Bible says that he never grows tired or weary. So why did he rest on that seventh day? Well, it was to set a pattern, to build a rhythm into his creation. Work for 6 days, rest. Work, rest. Work, rest. And it was even embedded in his great law, the Ten Commandments, to keep the Sabbath. Why? Because he knows that we need to keep this balance in life between our work in our relationship with God and our relationship with the special people he has put in our lives. So keep your work in balance. And finally, trust God with your work. Trust God with your work. You know, you can pray about your job. Don't leave God out of your work life. Proverbs 16:3 in the English Standard Version says, commit your work to the Lord and your plans will be established. You will find true success in life when you commit, when you trust your work to the Lord. Colossians 3:17 says, in whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. So when you get up in the morning, you give thanks. And when you get out of your car in the parking lot and walk to your office or job, you give thanks. Whatever you do in word or deed, give thanks. And so, friends, this is what God intends for us to do. He intends for us to get up every day and to spend our day in meaningful service to him and to others. In managing our homes, in loving our families, in volunteering meaningfully in the church and out in the community, and working hard at our jobs, and coming home and loving on our families again, and then collapsing at the end of the day, collapsing in bed exhausted. That's a good thing. That's a good day. Because that's the way God wired us. That's the way he created us. To be involved with our work, to worship him and witness for him, to serve him, and to love others. I hope that helps you have a new perspective on going to work tomorrow. Now let's pray together. Now, Lord, we thank you for the wisdom of your word. In the life to which you call us. But it's a life that we can't live in our own strength. Lord, foolishness is bound up in our hearts, and we so desperately need the new life to give us new hearts. It would cause us to look at our work and every other thing in a different way. So, Lord, I pray now that as we respond to your word, that we will take stock of our lives, where we are with you, our relationship with you, how we worship you, how we witness for you, not just here at church, but in the work that you've given us to do. In Jesus' name, amen.